Well, good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru, and your friend in the car business. And also just a citizen of the earth, just like you are. You know, we're all just waiting for one thing. When is Yellowstone going to start? That's right. Yellowstone is the focus of all, I guess, most people, not all, many. We got to find out what happened to Kevin Costner. He was always was one of my favorite actors. I liked him in, I guess the first time I saw Kevin Costner was in a movie called Silverado. I'm kind of a Western guy anyway. I grew up loving Westerns, playing cowboys and Indians. I was always a cowboy. I had the holsters and I had my favorite jacket had fringe on the sleeves and a sheriff's badge on it. And I still have my old cowboy hat that I've got pictures of me when I was like three. It's in my man cave. I just look at it occasionally and said, man, I wish my head was still that size. But yeah, Yellowstone has captured the attention of a lot of people. If you haven't watched it, then you've missed something. Only thing I don't like about it, it's sponsored by Dodge or Ram. They drive Ram trucks, and it hurts me a little bit. But it didn't hurt me when I was a Dodge dealer, but it would hurt me now. But anyway, I'll keep you updated on that if I have an opportunity. I'll tell you another thing I've been binge-watching with my wife is a Netflix show called Wentworth. It's about a prison in Australia, and acting's really good. So anyway, I won't ruin it for you. It was suggested to me by one of my mom's caregivers because they tend to binge-watch stuff kind of like we do. It's easy to sit there. You know a show's good if you sit there and you're willing to sit through three episodes. Honey, you want to watch one more? Sometimes we just fall victim to that. So it's better to read before you go to bed, I've been told, so you don't have all that electronic stimulation. Well, it looks like this chip shortage is going to drag on maybe through the end of the year. Some of the big companies like BMW and Stellantis. You know what Stellantis is? Most people don't. That is the company that owns Jeep and Chrysler and was a merger of several different European companies like Peugeot. And they just called it, said, what do you think we ought to call this thing? And somebody said, how about Stellantis? Who comes up with this stuff? Anyway, the car makers from Tesla to Ford have warned that for the foreseeable future, the lack of chips is the main speed bump. And this recent pandemic explosion, re-explosion, if it's really happening, is the cause, because this Delta variant is shutting down plants left and right. You know, and it doesn't just shut down auto assembly plants. It shuts down the people who make the chips. And that's the problem. You know, just catching up is the big issue. They're even saying that iPhones and Android phones and stuff are going to be the next ones to suffer a big hit. So if you're waiting for the iPhone 13, you may be in for a long wait. And supplies may go down even further than what they are now. There's a German chip maker called Infineon Technologies. They also painted a grim picture this past Tuesday, saying it was battling extreme tightness in its markets as the latest wave of the COVID-19, blah, 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 cases disrupts production in Asia, and inventories hit all-time lows. So the rebound of global car markets is continuing to be hampered by a potato chip shortage. So we shall see if we can figure out a solution to that. In the meantime, I think you can continue to be proud of your used car that you have in your driveway, because it is no longer a depreciating asset. It is a appreciating asset. Appreciating. That's what assets are supposed to do, is appreciate. But now your asset, in the terms of your car, can depreciate greatly if you wreck it. And that little wreck becomes public notice and shows up on a Carfax or one of the other reporting agencies. And more than likely, it's going to when it gets reported, and it's going to show up there. Of course, you want it there if you are buying a car because you want to make sure that you know that a car's been wrecked. You may not want it there if you don't want it to affect the value of your car. But it needs to be there because people don't, you need to be able to adjust the value and really know what was done to the car. I'm going to give you some very important recommendations today about resale value and how to keep your car from really being tainted or its value being negatively impacted because it's been damaged. There's a couple steps that you can do. And then also, how do you get it fixed? Where's the best place to get it fixed? And how do you know they're doing good work? And then also, some terminology that you may not be familiar with when it comes to auto repair in terms of body repair is what I should say. So we'll get into that here in just a minute. Okay, we be back. And I want to go over something real quick that you can do if you have damaged your vehicle. And you're going to be taking it into a body shop to get it repaired. Take pictures of it. You need to be able to disclose. You know, if somebody sees on a Carfax report that a vehicle's been damaged and been repaired, their mind starts playing games with them, and they start envisioning a car that's, smashed like an accordion, when all that happened is you had a little dent in your fender. And that shows up when your car is repaired. Insurance company pays an insurance claim, and presto changeo, your car is no longer worth what it was. But it is worth what it was if you have the evidence to prove it. So just take pictures. Don't keep them in your phone. Go ahead and print them out. And, on maybe photo quality paper, so that you can see all the contours and stuff, and print it out and stick it in your glove box. And you'll forget that they're there until you're trying to sell your car and the salesperson walks over to you and says, "Oh, we just pulled a Carfax on your car, and it's obviously had some damage, so we're going to have to deduct $1,500 in value." And you're going to say, "Au contraire, let me go to my glove box, because I remember I was listening to My Car Guru, and Lenny Lawson said to take a picture of it, and I've got a picture to show you." And then you show it to him and say, okay, well, that was just a ding. Well, okay, so we won't have to deduct anything. See how much money I've already saved you. Pictures tell stories. Now, you can have a copy of the estimate, too. That wouldn't be a bad idea. So that you can make people have warm fuzzies about seeing something damaging or damage to your car, okay? So that's a little tip. Where do you get your car fixed when you have an accident? That's a tough one to answer. I wish there was a pat answer. It's good if you can go to some place that, other people have had experience with, and that they did quality work and you can see it and touch it. But a lot of people just don't know what quality body work really is, how to define that. It's really something that your eye isn't trained to see, so you don't notice it until somebody points it out to you. And, the main thing, as long as it's pretty, that's typically okay. But it's not pretty to like a guy who is a very trained eye. He's a used car appraiser, or he's some, very knowledgeable car person that's trying to buy your car because you parked it on a curb with a for sale sign in it. And he's going to see, "Oh, this car's been painted." And you're going to say, "I beg your pardon." And when you bought it, nobody told you it was painted, but obviously, in this particular light, the reflection shows that the paint doesn't match, and you are so upset. Somebody lied to you. It was 3 years ago, though, and you can't do anything about it. So now you're going to have to pay the price. If you had just known to take it to a good body shop and get it done right, then it wouldn't have been a problem. Now, sometimes you can't avoid that. I had a Lincoln with the Pearl. I think it's called Tri-coat or something like that. But anyway, it's a metallic white, pearlescent, beautiful when it's brand new, but not so beautiful when you wreck it and somebody can't duplicate that paint. You've got to have a paint shop that knows what the heck they're doing, because many of them do not, and they're relying on your lack of experience to see their crappy work. And so it's important for you to be able to to be able to make sure that you get a quality repair. My first suggestion, don't buy a car with platinum or tri-coat paint. Any type of pearl paint, it's pretty, but it's going to cost you dearly if you ever have a door ding or anything like that that has to be repaired. It's very expensive, and most people cannot duplicate the exact color combination. It's tough. And there are some really good body shops in the Tri-Cities that will get close. You know, they've got good painters, but that's a tough one. Now, if you get just a flat white or just something that doesn't have the pearl in it, something, if it says Tri-Coat, turn around and run. But no, if it's like a red or a gray, silvers are tough. Any kind of light color that has a lot of metallic in it, those are a problem. If you just have a regular plain white, that's probably the best color you can get. Black's pretty easy to match. Certain grays are difficult. Red's easy to match. So it's just something that we in the business, we know these things. Obviously, somebody runs into your car, you want to find out what the coverage is on the other party's insurance. Doggone it. You know, it wasn't your fault, and they ran into your car, so they should do whatever you want, right? Sometimes the insurance company, you end up doing battle with them. Now, your insurance company will go to battle for you. A lot of people don't know that. Just because somebody else's insurance company is misbehaving doesn't mean that you can't go to your insurance company and say, hey, help me out with this now. You're not having to pay for it, so let's get together on this. Don't be calling lawyers and stuff like that. That's a waste of time. Sorry, lawyers out there. If it gets bad enough, you can. But anyway, I don't recommend it going that route. In many states, the insurance company has to go with your choice as far as parts and stuff like that, replacement parts, but if you are not satisfied with what they decide to do. So you want to make sure the job is done right. Find out if the accident can possibly be handled by your insurance, and then they will go against the other insurance company and get indemnified by the other insurance company. I've done that before. Comparing prices, that's one of the suggestions. I don't know. You want to compare estimates. See what, if you have to have multiple estimates, I would look at them and say, okay, well, this guy's replacing this fender and this guy's fixing it. I'd like to know why he wants to fix it. And because when they fix it, they have to maybe use a little body filler and stuff like that that you may not want. However, I've seen some brand new fenders come in that had needed more dent work than a dented fender. So you just, people used to be real sensitive about the type of oil that they put in their cars. They wanted the same oil all the time, from the time it was new to the time they no longer own it. And I kind of feel that way about paint. Now, I would want to know, what is this car painted with, and are they going to use the same brand of paint? Because I think that one brand of paint may age differently than another. A lot of body shops, though, are dedicated to a certain paint supplier. And so they may sell PPG or Dynamont or one of the many different brands of paint that are out there. Sherwin-Williams is a big automotive paint supplier. And no, they don't just use house paint, do house paint. And you never want your car painted with a brush. That's a bad idea. But anyway, the quality of paint, the brand of paint, I would like to know what they're using. And then you can do a little research. You can call them a guru, that's me, and say, they're wanting to do this to my car. What do you think about this? And I'll give you my opinion. Just call me, 423-552-2020. I don't have anything else to do. Not really. I just got to run a car dealership. But anyway, check, especially on the replacement parts. Folks, I'm not real happy with China right now, but I don't like automotive parts. I don't want you to put Chinese-made fenders on my new Silverado. I want something that was made at the same place that the original fender was made. Insurance companies don't want to do that. They like they like you to use LKQ parts. That's like, kind, and quality, which means Chinese. And you don't necessarily want that because they don't fit good. A lot of the body techs that I talk to, they say, man, we have to do as much work trying to get these things to fit when they use these off-brand parts. And I think quality overall has gotten better because so many people have raised Cain about it. And certain insurance companies, read your policy. I mean, they get really tight when it comes to, filing a claim. They're real nice and friendly and give you coffee and donuts and stuff when you buy the insurance policy. And then when you have a claim, it's like you're having to deal with Cruella de Vil or something. So, that's not something people want to do. Is that her name? Corella? I think it is. Another thing that I always recommend to folks is to, when it comes to painting the car, you know, the painting is the last step, usually. I mean, then they wash the car usually after they do that. But the preparation of the body is so critical to a lasting paint job. I've seen cars that get painted, and 4 or 5 years later, the paint's peeling off. This happens a lot on plastic parts. A lot of the bumpers now, are just about all of them, are painted plastic. Even truck bumpers have a lot of painted plastic parts on them. And, you know, if a piece of plastic gets a hole punched in it and then you repair it, it's not going to last. You know, we repaired some bumpers on a 2014 Dodge Ram, what was it, SRT10. It's a custom truck that a friend of mine owns. And, you know, those bumpers, we fixed it. We were able to fix them. We couldn't find replacement bumpers on it because it's a rare truck. We were able to fix them, but, you know, it's not a long-term solution. I mean, they'll probably be good for 5 or 6 years, and then if somebody bumps into it, it's very possible that they could crack and return to their former damaged selves. But, you know, if I've got a vehicle that has plastic parts on them and they've got holes punched in them or cracked, I want them replaced. Also, on door jams and things like that, if you have a wrecked door or a wrecked fender or something like that, and they're going to be a lot of tape lines, tell them that you're very sensitive about tape lines. That's where they tape off the inside of the door so that they don't have to paint it. And so you end up with this line. And that's the first thing that car dealers will feel for. When they're walking around a car and they see a panel that doesn't really look like it matches, they're going to open the door and feel around the edge of the door to see if there's any tape lines there. That tells them that fender has been painted. And then the pencil gets out and they start beating you with it. And you don't want that to happen. Let's talk about a few terms here. Well, we'll take our last break and be back, and then we'll talk some terms. We'll have some school. Okay, Lenny Lawson here, My Car Guru. I just want to go over a few terms that you might want to spring on the body shop when they are talking to you about repairing your car. So you found a good body shop. They're really nice. They look you in the eye when they talk to you. They give you a professional estimate. They work with your insurance company. They have clean facilities, nice waiting room. They don't look like, you know, they're selling illegal liquor out the back door or anything like that. They look like legitimate folk. And so you're feeling comfortable with them, and then you start talking about body filler. Okay, and you say, I don't want a lot of body filler in these panels. Are you going to replace these panels? I noticed that you're doing some repair work. And, you know, worry about body filler. Body filler is sometimes called Bondo. You ever heard that term? That's a brand. It's a putty-like substance that's applied over a damaged area and basically fills it in and smooths it out, and then they sand it. They sand it down. It's kind of like you ever watch somebody fill sheetrock? Same thing. Different product, thank goodness. Gets much harder and lasts a lot longer, and you can paint it. But once you have some primer on it. But this product is normally a two-part putty that is extremely durable once it dries. Now, the correct use of body filler is okay. You know, light imperfections. I'm using a bunch of it right now on this 1949 car hauler that I'm building. A lot of imperfections in the body, and you just can't get metal perfect with a hammer. You've got to work it a little bit. You know, even expensive Italian cars, they're built from the factory with a lot of Bondo in them. So that's just the way it is. Primer, you've heard this term. Sometimes primer is called sealer, but primer is used to seal up the surface. And primer can be bare or coated with another paint or coating like body filler. Primer comes in a lot of different forms, a lot of different purposes. As a rule of thumb, primer is the foundation that a paint job is built off of. So if you have a good primer base, then you're more than likely going to have a better paint finish. Sealer is something slightly different. Sometimes primer and sealer are interchanged with one another. But like right now, they're having to seal the bed of my truck so before they can paint it, because it's bare metal and you can't put paint on bare metal. And really, if you put primer on bare metal, then you have to really sand the primer. The sealer does a better job. So it's usually applied to the metal, and then primer is put on top of that, and then paint is put on top of that. There's two different kinds of paint. There's paint coat, clear coat, which is basically they put a color on the primer, and it looks flat. I mean, when you see the paint that they first use, it will say, well, that ain't right, but that is actually the base color, and then they put clear over top of it, which makes it shiny, okay? So you need to know, are you guys using base coat, clear coat, or are you using single stage paint? Single stage is a type of paint that doesn't require a clear coat. This type of paint isn't used as much in modern day body shops, but it's still used regularly in restorations. I'm using single stage paint on a couple vehicles that I'm doing right now. It's just, it works better for that type of purpose, but really base coat, clear coat is more durable. When you're touching your paint job, you're actually touching the clear coat. If you have an imperfection in it, typically it's in the clear coat, and those can be sanded out. And sometimes you can just put extra clear over it, and then you don't get a paint difference, you know, as far as color is concerned. You get a job, a paint job, you want to make sure when you're looking at it, don't just look at it in the, and you're picking up your car at the body shop is what I'm trying to say. Don't just look at the paint in the sunlight, okay? Get it in the shade where you can really get down and look at an angle and look at the same level as the paint. See if you see any, like, dirt, any little bumps in the paint and stuff. That's because, you know, they just didn't really do a great job, and those need to be cut and buffed out so that, you know, and then they might need to clear it again to get that dirt out of there. I saw a paint job the other day that had a lot of dirt in the paint. And when I say dirt, I'm just talking about small little bumps, okay? It's like acne. And when you see that on a new car, it's a dead giveaway that the thing's been painted, and you just got to watch out for that. So hopefully some of this will help you. If you have any questions, you know I'm available. Lenny Lawson at 423-552-2020. You know, I am the new car dealer with a twist. You can come to my dealerships in Greenville, Gateway Ford and Gateway Nissan, and we'd love to have your business. But if not, and you're, you know, you want to go someplace else and buy something inferior, then you can. I'm just kidding. You know what I mean. I hope you guys have a great day, and we will see you tomorrow.